welcome back to another edition of Red Card Radio. First off, as always, I am John Haggerty.
And joined by Brian Torkola.
And it's just going to be the two of us this week. Matt is...
I think he's got the swine flu.
No, I don't think it's swine flu. He's just hacking away and coughing and stuff. I don't think it's...
Bird flu?
It's bird flu.
United flu.
United flu. Something. Matt's a little under the weather, so he's not joining us this week. It's just going to be the two of us. We want to apologize for missing the last couple of weeks. For those of you who don't know, we had some stuff come up last week. Other commitments. We weren't able to get on the air weekend before. My 97-year-old grandmother passed away. God rest her soul. And I wasn't able to be on the air. The funeral was that day, and we just couldn't make it work the rest of the week. So we deeply and heartfully apologize for missing 2 weeks of great action, missing the end of the World Cup qualifiers and everything going on there, and then last weekend's return to league action and everything that happened there, plus some Champions League action and a bunch of other things. But we got a lot to cover this week. We want to make it a quick show for you all, and we will just jump right into it. There was one major match yesterday. Two long-term great rivalries, Liverpool-Man United.
18 titles apiece.
18 titles each, a combined total of 36 top-flight titles between the two of them, the two most successful teams in England. In Merseyside at Anfield, Liverpool comes out the victors 2-1. Both sides reduced
2-0. You just actually gave us a goal. Thank you very much.
2-0.
We're both United supporters, so
yeah, 2-0.
Full
disclosure, because this show might be very, very anti-Liverpool. If you lean that way, that's just the mood I'm in today. The mood I've been in for the last, let's see, about 30 hours.
Well, let's just say this: you're anti certain Liverpool supporters. Be most accurate.
Oh, I hate Rafa Benitez too. But
well, yeah,
he's a fat Spanish waiter. So it was a game that Liverpool completely deserved to win, hands down. However, the referee made a few critical calls, and also how he did not send Jamie Carragher off when it was 1-0 before stoppage time began is still beyond me, for when he hauled down Michael Owen on a clear professional foul, when the man was through, last man back, all that, it boggles the mind.
It does, and you see this kind of thing week to week in professional sports. Baseball's had a particularly bad run here in this country, and you look at what's happened with the refereeing in England, and you watch the replay, and the first time you notice, he is spot on. He can see that Carragher is the last man back. So either he is completely blind and has no depth perception, or he actually thought Owen could have continued. It's like one of those fouls where you didn't, you know what I'm saying? You both go for the ball, you kind of let it go, and he thinks that Owen fell down or something. I'm trying to relate to what he was thinking at the time. But
I think he was more afraid of the crowd than anything.
For his
own personal safety. Exactly. That is mine. And it's other things that have happened with Liverpool supporters that I think that's, completely legitimate.
Well, hold on. Before you go down that track, I will say this, though. I mean, when you watch what happened, and it's such a bang-bang play and everything, and I think the referees really don't have the balls to call things on tight derby grounds when there's just a fever atmosphere. They just don't. They really screw up the big calls. Do you know what I mean? In favor of the home side, completely, consistently.
Oh, I agree completely.
Think back to Mascherano's red card. I was actually, I was at that game. I love to tell everybody, and he was running around at the referee all
game long,
and for him to get sent off when he did, I still say was a byproduct, like everybody else, of the previous week where Ashley Cole was just a complete and utter jerk to the referee, and it just kept replaying over and over and over in the media, and they were looking for someone like him.
And, you know, the other thing is, with regards to Liverpool, you know, the Carragher should have been on a yellow card anyways.
At this point in time. Forget Carragher. What about Lucas? Lucas walks off the pitch with like nothing. 10 fouls to his name.
No accumulation at all. That Jamie Carragher should have been on a yellow card for the tackle on Michael Carrick in the box. That should have been a penalty. You know, there was over the top spikes up. Yeah, he tipped the ball a little bit, but that's a misconception. If you get the ball, it's not a foul.
Well, it's part of the English mindset, though, in refereeing. And yeah, I mean, I'm not as troubled by that as I am with all of the silly fouls that Lucas did all over the pitch. And, you know, Evra gets a yellow when there's a dive. And, well, the second one could have been a foul, but it was like, my God, go out of your way to protect Torres, why don't you? He's a fantastic player. He needs... That's a whole nother tangent, by the way. I will say this. Compare Ronaldo to Torres very, very quickly. Ronaldo, the reason he doesn't get calls is because he doesn't get stuck in and he doesn't go for the balls that are dangerous and he whines and complains. Okay? That's why he doesn't get calls. Torres gets protection in England. Why? Because he gets stuck in and he goes for everything full bore and he is a... He's a good English striker. I mean,
no, he is very good. He really showed his class in that game. That was a moment of brilliance to score that goal. It was a great run. I cannot fault Van de Sar. I cannot fault the defense. It was a great pass to him, a great run, and an even better finish.
Yeah, and Benny Yoon, you know, Rafa finally woke up and smelled the coffee and is playing him consistently. Yeah, he's one player that can actually provide something from that midfield line outside of Gerrard.
And I'm sorry, but if you think Jamie Carragher should have stayed on the pitch, I believe you're suffering from febrile delusion from live bird avian flu. Either that or your rose-colored cup glasses are blinding you a little bit. One or the other.
Yeah, well, you know, Carragher's comments, we were talking about this before the show, where it's like Owen was pulling him down. That's the only other thing where Mariner kind of thought they were both tugging at each other at the same time, and so...
Then you don't call anything.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can't understand it, because it's like, it's the first thing in the pub that day, like, this millisecond after that happened, I'm like yelling, off, like a deranged lunatic, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And as soon as I saw it, it was a red card in my mind.
And it's closer to the goal than, like, the Vidic red card with, you know, being the last man back at about 30, 32 yards, yes, exactly. You know, with Gerrard last year at Old Trafford. Yep. I mean, that was exactly the same kind of moment.
It was the exact same kind of play as well. The little bit a tug from each player,
right?
And the defender is in the bad position and pulls the attacker down. They're no different. You know, Vidic was on a yellow, but it was a straight red that was shown to him for that match. Even though he was sitting on a yellow, it was straight red.
He had the three-game ban. Yeah.
And I believe that Carragher deserved the same. I cannot believe it was not called. Yeah. Chelsea moved back top of the table, though.
Fully deserved.
5-0 humiliation of Blackburn.
In some ways, isn't it just poetic justice to see Sam's team just get clobbered? You know, just with the way they hoof it?
Yeah. I have no clue what Big Sam's doing. And, you know, to make, bad news worse news even worser?
Yeah, thanks.
Three Blackburn players have been diagnosed with H1N1 flu ahead of tomorrow's...
You're, like, smiling as you say this.
It's funny.
It is not funny.
No, because I cannot stand the H1N1 swine flu news. It drives me bonkers. Everywhere I turn, that's all they're talking about. It is the goddamn fucking flu. Get over it.
It's a new strain. It's highly contagious.
The old strain's just as contagious. We just have all gotten it over the years, and we've got natural immunity now to it, so it's not as bad. We're all going to get this. We're all going to get sick. Deal with it. Have a cup of soup. Stay home for 7 days. Have some tea. Put a little whiskey in it to make yourself feel better with some honey. You'll be fine.
Well, you know, it is funny. Actually, I wasn't prepared for this, but let me grab this. So the Daily Mirror had a story where they were saying football could be headed for a swine flu crisis after Blackburn stars David Dunn, Chris Samba, diagnosed with the virus, blah, blah, blah. But it's like football is headed for
a crisis. Yeah, there's going to be matches that are going to be called off. That's going to happen. You know, Marseille, PSG, big match in France, called off over the weekend after three PSG players.
That's France.
Sick with flu-like illness. I don't know. What? Do they think it's a German virus or something that they're, you know, waving the white flag of retreat already. It's three players that are
on one team.
And the entire team was quarantined for 72 hours because of
it.
It's just, it's reactionary. It's over the top. It, you know, we're not talking swine flu here, but, you know, when it comes up, and I know we did. I feel bad for it. All right. Two other games that I had to laugh at the results from Sunday.
Only two?
That I had to laugh at the results from Sunday.
I stand corrected. Only two?
Yeah. Arsenal, West Ham. Arsenal 2-0 up, and the match ended 2-2. Man City 2-0 up. And the final score, Brian?
2-2.
Can they not defend? They take their foot off the gas? You know, what are your thoughts?
Well, tell me, if Fulham and West Ham had played each other this weekend, what would the result have been?
6-4.
Not 2-2.
0-0.
0-0, probably. Yeah, you're right. You know, it's very interesting to, I'm going to go very personal on this and kind of expand it to the whole week. I'm bitter. I know the score. I must have dropped like 10,000 places because I got almost every freaking game wrong this weekend. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Bad karma this week?
It was very bad karma. I mean, you know, there were a couple of, like the Chelsea game that I didn't get the score right, but I had predicted 3-4. Yeah, I got that right. But I'm just looking back at all these, and I had Liverpool United 1-1 draw, which it should have been actually in my book. But yeah, I just look all the way through, and you know, like Stoke beating Tottenham. There's another laugher. I mean, as far as if you're not a Tottenham supporter, yeah. It's like they could go anywhere on the road and look like, you know, like United or look like Chelsea or like Arsenal in their heyday, and they come home.
You know,
and
I feel bad
crazy.
For you know, Tottenham did have to finish that match with only 10 men after Lennon got injured. For the final 10 minutes, something like that. They just couldn't finish.
No, they
can't. It was that last ball in the final third. It's a bad shot. I felt bad for Tottenham. And coming into this weekend, Merseyside, North London Derby, at the Emirates, I believe. So, you know, Tottenham's got to get that ship right at going against
If it's at the Emirates, they'll play brilliantly. Oh, I mean, you know, if they were at home, they're going to lose 3-0 or 3-1.
It's going to be 4-4. Come on.
We can only hope, right? A little Arshav magic there. That was Anfield. Sorry.
Yeah, that was Anfield. Speaking of the multi-goal thrillers, the Everton
Bolton. No, wait a minute. What's the over under on Bolton scoring 3 goals in a game?
Oh, I guarantee you it's a goal and a half for the game.
Right. I mean,
one for Everton alone.
Yeah.
And then you know, you couple in their Bolton's offense and defense, and Bolton wins 3-2 at the Reebok. Come up 2-0. Everton comes back to equalize, and then a late goal by a substitute bagged all 3 points for them with just 4 minutes remaining.
Quick, don't look at the table. Who's ahead, Bolton or Everton? Who's
Bolton.
Higher? Yeah.
Bolton scored 11 points in the last 6 matches. They're doing really well.
Yeah, in the last 6 matches. Exactly.
Yeah, they've started to turn off. I still believe Bolton should be relegated just for their ugly kits. But, you know, and then the game that surprised me, I think, the most was Wolves getting a draw with Midland rivals Aston Villa.
At home.
Yep. Especially after Gabby Abandahor put him ahead with like 10-11 minutes to play.
79th minute.
Yeah, and I just thought right there we're taking all the steam out of Wolves. You know, was this the match at Molineux?
Yeah, it was. And then you're going to talk about the Sidwell stupidity.
What was the man thinking?
You know, we've both played football, not at this level or whatever, and you've done something really dumb that afterwards you go, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
Right?
It's ridiculous sometimes.
You know, you play so, think of how many games they play. But even with that said, I mean, you're up 1-0. I mean, like the only thing you could do to screw that up is give up a penalty almost to Wolves. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just leave somebody utterly unmarked on a cross.
It was the only way for them to get back.
There's no way they're going to dribble through, they're going to penetrate or do anything. They're just going to be hoofing it towards the goal and just crashing.
All right. Now, one thing, you know, speaking of bad goals or bad decisions, we got to go back a week.
Okay.
We got to talk about Balloon Boy. And I'm not talking about the American, you know, cable news story that surfaced, you know.
No, we're not talking about Colorado. No,
Colorado,
no, no.
Colorado, you know,
not
air
the
balloon.
Fictitious balloon
not
story.
Not the fictitious Balloon Boy, the actual Balloon Boy, the Liverpool supporter who threw the red balloon, beach ball, whatever you want to call it, onto the pitch. Darren Bent's shot deflected in
off
the ball. Pepe Reina goes to save the balloon and halfway there realizes it's the wrong one and is stuck flat-footed. Only goal in the game at the stadium. It's allowed to stand.
It's allowed to stand incorrectly.
Which, yeah, incorrectly, maybe.
Karmically, it should count. But by the letter of the law, it should not count.
It should
anything.
Not count.
Right.
You know,
it's an inflatable beach ball that was purchased. You know, the journalists are wondering, well, where it was official Liverpool merchandise.
Was it official?
It was official merchandise, and
wow.
It was recently put on clearance before this Sunderland match for like £10. So it was like a beach party set.
Oh Jesus!
Get your Liverpool beach party set.
Well, here's you know my part of it. Wait, you got some. First, let's go. Let's talk about the response to it. That the United supporters.
Oh well, yeah.
Because there was a lot of beach balls.
There were early on. There were a lot of, and there was lots of articles in the paper about how people are going to be searched and everything. And everyone that watched the Liverpool United games saw lots of beach balls on
the
pitch.
But the thing is, the cops started it.
Right.
They threw the beach balls on first, and then United supporters followed suit. So, you know, it was done in good humor, I believe. Pepe Reina might not believe so, and the stewards might not believe so, but...
Yeah, it was kind of comical the first 5 minutes of the match.
Because every time a ball appeared,
everyone cheered.
The pub cheered for it. It was hilarious.
Well, and I don't know that I heard this at all, like listening to the way the supporters were supposedly going to do a rendition of 99 Red Balloons, a really Loof cheeky
Loof Balloons,
yeah. You know, the pop classic at Anfield. And the other thing was, is that there's a couple of other things that the way supporters were doing that were quite funny, especially if you're a United fan, and one of them was they were wearing t-shirts with Michael Owen doing the Tevez pose, welcome to Manchester. That was very good. But then the other one was they arrived wearing masks of Eric Cantona, and you're like wondering, why were they wearing the Eric Cantona masks? Well, it's in reference to a banner that was unfurled way back in 1994, which said, "Au revoir, Cantona and Man United. Come back when you've won 18. So there were hundreds of people wearing masks.
Wow.
It's the first game back since the title.
Wow. Yeah.
It's, you know what? Here's the weird thing. As an American or on this continent, there are things that there are sporting matches that are intense. You know, I mean, like there's a jail in Vet Stadium, you know, and there's like all of these things that we know about Boston and New York and rivalry. And, you know, you're in trouble physically, you know, if you're a little too obnoxious either way.
Yeah.
But you could still go to games and be somewhat intermingled and like, you know, you take
it's
your chance.
Segregated.
Right. But Liverpool United, having experienced it not at Anfield, but twice at Old Trafford,
it's ridiculous.
I get it. I don't get it at the same time. It's just amazing the amount of vitriol.
Here's the other thing that goes with it. You know, Balloon Boy, as we're calling him on this show.
Balloon Boy. Every time you say that, now I see the stupid kid from the damn CNN runs where they're just like, there's that picture of him and his family.
The Jiffy Pop?
Yeah, exactly.
Which
the Jiffy Pop balloon. Yeah, exactly.
His Colin Campbell, 16, from... just streets away from Anfield, lifelong Liverpool supporter, has been receiving death threats for throwing the ball onto the pitch.
I am going to watch what I say here, but it just makes no sense to me. And that's, you know, it touches on, you know, the death threats for World Soccer Daily.
Yep.
When that came through. It also touches on, you know, the Leeds supporters going to, it's not... Pool supporters, but it's sorry, and the Millwall supporters going to Leeds and wearing the Galatasaray shirts because the two fans were stabbed.
Yes.
There is a side of this. I mean, you know, it's not like, oh, knock, 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 you didn't know this existed, but it's still, I still find it shocking. You know, like, I never get used to it. Do you?
No, it just seems to build on itself over and over, and it doesn't need to. It's some points, it's pointless, you know, like, giving death threat to one of your own supporters for throwing a ball under the pitch when he wasn't the only one doing it.
Right.
Things like that happen.
Or historically, how many times have you seen a beach ball come out of something come out of the Liverpool end?
Yeah, exactly. I don't get it. It disappoints me. It's the only word I can use.
You're going to sound all moralistic.
I know.
You're in America.
I know. It's shameful. It's the only word I can think of to use and to describe it. But,
The weird thing is to me, not that this makes it any better, but it just has some sort of logic to me. Is like, okay, you're a nutter and you're mad at the other team and you do death threats to your arch rival. That's not any better. But it's in a twisted way, it makes some freaking sense. Or somebody that did something to you personally.
Come on, it's not like he's Bartman or anything.
Yeah, I know. God. Mental health is a wonderful thing. And if you have, hundreds of thousands of people, what are the chances of, anyway?
Well, there is one important thing I do want to add to this, very important discussion. Liverpool is now 10-1 to win the league.
And what were they? Did you have that before?
I don't have it before, but Chelsea still lead it at 13-10.
Yeah.
So, it's a big difference. Man City are still 1-2 to break into the big four, or the top four. So it's just kind of ridiculous. What I find funny is Gordon Strachan, now the new manager at Middlesbrough, has raised their odds to 11-2 to win the championship.
Well, he's a good manager, especially for that level.
He is. Well, he's a good manager, period. Speaking of good managers gone bad managers gone good.
Yeah.
What was it, 12 months to the day after leaving White Hart Lane and only 46 days into his tenure, Juan Ramos is no longer manager of CSKA Moscow with his contract terminated. And guess who have to come to Old Trafford next week from Wednesday? Or a week from tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Would that be CSKA Moscow for 200
That is
check?
Correct.
Yeah.
Sometimes managers just don't make sense. And before we move into Brian's bits, there is something.
Did he take away the vodka this time? He took the brown sauce away at White Hart Lane.
Probably. That's why, Player Revolt, something like that. I know you're missing something very important on your list.
Yes.
A Svenomenon.
Svenomenon. Svenomenon. Yes. You must have one then.
I do have one. And it's regarding his former assistant at Manchester City. Hans. Maybe named the new
manager. Oh, he would be a great puppet if they still did the show.
Oh, he would. But he may be named the new manager of Notts County.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, just why not? But, Hans and Sven back together again. Does life get any
And then
better?
How will he get along with Salt? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I do want to talk about one thing before I get into the bits. It's just between, let's say, we'll just stick with Man City and go up. It's like 18 points to 24 points. And,
which is what place?
That's sixth on up.
Sixth.
So
to
that,
first
normally, no, well, it's, yeah, I mean, it's 6 points. But my point is with that is that Arsenal and City and Villa, which is actually 1 point behind City, are one game back. In other words, they've only played 9, not 10.
So the
top of the table is really tight.
Yeah.
And, our thoughts about thinking of a big four, I think they're going out because, Tottenham have always had the resources to compete up there, and I don't think that they'll stay where they are in fourth, but City have the resources, and they will be somewhere in the mix. And,
Villa's shown year in and year out that they have a winning side. I think they had some hangover from losing Barry.
Yeah.
And I think they've
righted the ship.
So.
Martin
O'Neill's a good manager. But if you also look, Martin O'Neill's been there for quite some time. We can't say the same about Airy, and we can't say the same about...
Is it 18 months yet?
Yeah, getting close. Well, no,
call the agent.
Months.
Call the agent. Surface his name somewhere.
But, City, their star player who thinks he's, quote, the best player in the world.
Yeah, Robinho.
Yeah, he's really, you know, wanting that move to Barcelona, it sounds like.
Oh, you know, it's lovely to see that man fight for a spot on a team again, like Madrid, isn't it?
Did you
watch
hear
him
his
just
quote?
Crumble and, yeah, oh, please, enlighten me.
Yeah, his quote said that he's very happy at City, but it's really hard to be the best player in the world while playing at City.
No, I saw that. I just was feigning no knowledge because I just don't let certain things stick in my brain. It's easier
it's
that way.
Ridiculous. The man has too big of a head.
You know, but I would just like to do a lot of psychological profiling of really good professional athletes because just the ego has to be just, I mean, like off the charts for like the vast majority of the good players.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, that's, and they almost have to be a bit OCD, you know, like obsessive compulsive, just it completely
to do the training
and like be good at stuff. Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, it's hard work. I'm not like ripping on it. I'm not trying to come across as a bitter fan that wishes I were professional because it would be great if I were a professional, but. And I would gladly be OCD and have a big ego for the amount of money they make, but, you know.
Yeah, I agree. It would be very interesting to see that. All right, let's move on to the favorite everyone's favorite part of the show, Brian's Bits from the wacky world of football news.
Oh, Fabio. England coach Fabio Capello has developed a deep affection for London since moving to the capital and says his favorite musical is Mamma Mia. We've all got ABBA songs in our heads, after all, he says. Your comment. Can you just see?
No,
you see him in a car or in his apartment singing any ABBA song?
Dancing Queen?
Yeah, Dancing Queen. Just pick it, man.
But, you know, I agree with him completely.
Take a chance on me.
Everybody has an ABBA song in their head.
Of course.
Just nobody's willing to admit it.
That's right. That's right. It's just it's hilarious. We'll stay with managers. I wasn't going to do this one, but like Arsene Wenger, you know, how to adapt to a foreign country 101. The 6-year-old Frenchman, this was actually in the Sunday Express, said, my secret to adapting to life in England is I adapt to the country I'm in. Here I eat roast beef and Yorkshire pudding. There are people who visit different countries and don't adapt. It is a must. Of course, he's French, and he's going to talk about adapting through his stomach.
Well, unbelievable. It makes sense, but, you know, just I'm glad he's not managing in Scotland.
Yeah, you must have the haggis.
You must have the haggis. Or, you know, Russia.
Yeah, there's things.
There's things, you know, pickles and bread and vodka.
Just there's a lot pickled in Russia that you don't want pickled. Yeah, no. And we're not talking about the imbibing either. Well, and we're now going to go. I don't have a title for this one because of the one that I wrote down I don't like anymore. But we're just going to talk about one Diego Maradona and his post-match comments on live TV after they barely qualified for the World Cup.
I have
telling all of his doubters that they can just go suck.
Inviting all of his doubters to perform fellatio.
Yeah, basically. And wait. But then, so we've got, because we missed a week, and so we've got some time that's passed, and, you know, it's still in the media world because it was such an outrageous thing. And
has he been fined by FIFA yet?
I don't know, but I don't think so. And so it says, you know, I don't regret it. He's talking to the media, and he goes, and I apologize to the ladies, but not to those who talk about football on TV.
What about the ones that talk to
speaking of a psychological profile? Oh, my God. What a man.
Egocentric maniac?
Cocaine's a terrible drug on the brain, huh?
Yeah.
This is your brain on drugs, Nancy Reagan. Okay.
Whoa, going back to Diego. How do you think Argentina's going to do at the World Cup?
Who knows? It's far enough away where, you know, you just don't know. I mean, you know, when they went into Asia, they were playing brilliant football, and then they just laid an egg, you know, in Japan, Korea.
All I know, the French are going to have their hands full without Ribery.
Yeah.
With missing Ribery and having to play that first game at Croke Park, it's going to end 0-0 at Croke Park. And
I'm not saying anything.
Ireland's got 120 minutes to score that one goal that'll send them to the World Cup.
They do.
So, that's all it's going to take.
And you did predict that Ireland would get jobbed, by the way, with a matchup against either
France or Portugal.
Right. Well, France it is.
And, you know, when I look back, though, France was my number two team that I wanted them to get. I really wanted them to draw Greece. I thought that would have been a little easier. because, you know, nobody wants to go to Russia in November.
Yeah.
You know, Napoleon and Hitler taught us that that was not a good idea.
All right, next one. You ready?
Sure.
Trouble with a capital T. This is in the Daily Telegraph, so... Germany's World Cup players have been warned to expect to wear bulletproof vests if they venture away from the team hotel at the 2010 finals in South Africa. Your thoughts?
Okay. Two things. Is it because they're German?
Fair point.
And do they need to wear the bulletproof vests to protect their lives? Because, you know, if South Africa needs 3 points, they could always shoot them in the leg. And it just seems...
It's just keep coming.
No, I'm just saying, you know, it's life protection, yes. Productivity.
They're
not going to be able to run very fast on the pitch wearing those bulletproof vests because that's away from their hotel.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm just saying, you know.
I've talked to people that have been to South Africa and people that have traveled a lot, kind of just all over the world,
it's
in
tough.
Third world countries and stuff, and they have been warning me. Because I've thought about going, and I'm most likely not going. And it's not because of personal safety, but it also just doesn't work for a variety of reasons. And they've just thought this, you know, there's been a big push for FIFA to have a World Cup in Africa, and I think it's very deserved. And South Africa
Ghana
makes...
just won the first major tournament.
But I really do think there's going to be some horrific stories that come out of this as far as fans getting, you know what, beaten out of them. And, you know, just think of all the people that can afford to go to the World Cup going and just being targets for, I mean, this kind of stuff. The fact that they're talking about bulletproof vests. I'm dead serious.
The other thing is, you know, you look at, you know, 4.5 years from now, we're going to Brazil as well.
I know, it's like the same thing.
And, you know, the same thing when you get to Sao Paulo and some of those other places, you know, off the beaten path, you know, away from the beach, it gets pretty seedy pretty quick. And, you know, we're going to run into the same kind of situation there as well. So
I just think a lot of, you know, hand over your goodies at gunpoint more so than you'd ever want to hear about. Let's look here. The first billionaire, Real Madrid winger Cristiano Ronaldo, is to become the football's first billionaire, earning £16,000 per minute. The former Manchester United star is also being offered £1.5 million a game by foreign tycoons to show off his skills in a series of friendlies.
Do you think it's really worth that?
You know, it's
Market economics say yes, because
it's you know, the same reason, you know, people buy the most expensive whatever in the world, whether it's a painting or whatever else. There's a lot of competition now over, you know, him for sporting tricks, it looks like, you know. So in that sense, it can make it, I understand that it's happening and whatever. But it just seems really bad timing in light of our economic conditions across the world and stuff, you know.
That's just...
And if he does become a player like that, he could seriously put £100 million, you know, into a trust and try to do something good. But we'll see if he goes, you know, U2 on the card. That's really all I've got.
I think that's going to be it for the...
We're going to finish with just the flourish of a red billionaire, 99 red billionaires. No, I don't know.
I don't think it's worth it. I don't think anyone's worth that much money. But, you know, if market economics are paying for it, you know, I guess he is worth it. So,
I mean, if someone's willing to pay him,
that's what it is.
It is what it is.
Well, that's going to be another wrap for Red Card Radio. As always, I'm John Haggerty.
And Brian Torpil.
Have a good week.
Cheers.